This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, you know our comings out and our goings on. You know there is a little bit of saint in each of us and a little bit of sinner. You know, because it is in you that we live and move and have our very being. So we pray this day, may saint edge out sinner. May we find ourselves stretched towards you and not pushed away. May we become all that you have made us to be, and that we may give honor to us as your creation. Stay with us, O God. Don't be far away. Keep your Holy Spirit nearby. Amen. Amen. Well, I say it to our school children often, but it's appropriate to say it to you all today. Good morning, saints.
Good morning, saints.
As we celebrate our sainthood this day. We read these Beatitudes, and I think this morning I'd like to add one. Blessed are those who just truck on even when the microphone fails. Carol's back there, Rev. Carol's back there trying to figure something out, but we have had little gremlins in the system this morning, so we apologize for that. There's something that we used to do on most All Saints Days prior to COVID, and I'd like to resume that again today, and it requires you to get involved. So what I want you to do is turn to the person next to you. And if you don't know their first name, you have to find it out first. And then when you know that person's first name, I want you to say to them, Saint, whatever it is, pray for me. So turn, learn the first names, and say that to that person. Saint Terry, pray for me. Saint Cindy, pray for me. Saint Barbara, pray for me. Saint Paul, pray for me. Okay, you did it. We were going to do it last night at 5 o'clock, but we'd all needed bus tickets to get close enough to each other. There was a small crowd, as we usually get. But you just did a litany of the saints. And you just really expressed in a short fashion what this day is all about for us. Because we so often forget that we are all called to be saints, as that hymn reminded us. I have a tradition and will continue it this year. If you would take out the Red Book of Common Prayer from the pews and open up to page 862, please. Page 862. And on page 862 in the Book of Common Prayer, I want you to look at the third question and answer from the top of the page, where the question is, why do we pray for the dead? A question that priests always get asked this time of year. And I would like us to read the answer to why do we pray for the dead together there, if you all have it. We say together, we pray for them because we still hold them in our love, and because we trust that in God's presence, those who have chosen to serve him will grow in his love until they see him as he is. It's a very significant prayer. It talks about growing in his love even after we get to heaven. We don't think about that too often, but it is very clear in Paul's writing that there is something that is going to continue. As we are not totally God, we are going to come to more and more knowledge and awareness of God, even when we get to heaven. To me, that's pretty exciting, that there's going to be even more growth, that we're going to understand more and more. And we certainly would like to facilitate those who have been called to heaven already to continue to have that in their lives. Now, for me, that's powerful. I mean, my mother died last month, And she was one of the most blessed people I know from the way she lived her life. But think of those special people you have lost to know that as good as they were in their lives or as much struggle they had in their lives here, now they are getting more and more of that growth and realization of God's love in their lives. That's amazing. That's worth celebrating. Now let's look at one other question and answer that's important for this day. It's the third from the bottom. And the question is, what is the communion of saints? And if we could read that answer together. The communion of saints is the whole family of God, the living and the dead, those whom we love, those whom we hurt, bound together in Christ by sacrament, prayer, and praise. The whole family of God, the living and the dead, those whom we love, and those whom we hurt. And a logical deduction from that, and those who hurt us. We need to understand more and more this communion of saints as being everyone. And when we get into an understanding of what this day is about, and especially this gospel reading and what we've been doing in the small groups, it brings it home a little more with practicality. The living and the dead, those whom we love, those whom we hurt. You know, there's something that we mysteriously believe takes place every time we gather at this table. And that is somehow that whole communion of saints is gathered there. I take great comfort in that. Every time I am privileged to be at this or another altar and realizing that in some way, shape, or form, my dad is there. My mom is there. All those saints in heaven are there with us. We who believe, we who know that this world is not our home, this is a day of rejoicing. Yeah, it's still sad that they're not here with us. But to know that they are still in that spiritual sense with us, and to know that when we are called to heaven, we're going to see him again. We're going to be with him again. Pretty cool. So let's look a little bit at the small group that we are doing, because it applies very well to all of this. If you're not in the small group that Rev Carroll has been leading, we've been looking at different parables of Jesus, and this particular week we looked at that parable of the workers in the vineyard. And even if you're not in the group, just to recap the story, the guy has to have people, it's harvest time, to go out and harvest the crops. So at the beginning of the day, there's people waiting to go to work. He takes some, they go out and they start working. He needs more, he comes back later in the morning. He gets some more workers, he sends them out into the vineyard. He goes out again later in the afternoon, sends out more workers. And even at the end of the day, he still needs more. He sends more workers out into the vineyard. The day ends. They're going to get paid. He pays them in reverse order. He pays the ones who went out last first. And they get a full day's pay. Wow. Well, they're excited. But then these others are excited because they're thinking, well, if they got a full day's pay and only worked a couple hours, well, we worked the whole day, we're going to get all kinds of overtime here. They're all excited. And what does he do? He gives them what they all agreed upon, a full day's pay. And these guys who went out at the beginning of the day are so upset. That's not fair. They only worked a couple hours. We worked a whole day. Well, what did we agree upon? I gave you what we agreed upon. And it becomes all about fairness, and yet they sort of miss the whole point. The Gospels tell us that all of those workers were there waiting to work from the beginning of the day. When he goes and he gets the last ones, they've been standing there all day waiting for somebody to hire them. And think about this from a compassionate point of view. These were not rich people. These were people who depended on the work so that they could have food to put it on the table for their family that night. So the first guys who get hired, man, they got to be excited. We're having steak tonight, honey. And then you go down the line, and then you get to these last ones, the fear and trembling they must have gone through, thinking that it looks like I'm coming home with nothing and we will go hungry once again tonight. But that doesn't happen. They get fed. They get their money. Now, wouldn't you think from that perspective, not only these last ones that were so full of gratitude that they got paid, that those first ones might want to rejoice a little bit for those others because they too would have food on their table that night. But they don't go that route, do they? This is the view of the communion of saints. We need to keep this into the perspective of what our mission and purpose in life is. It is to bring as many people into the fullness of Christ's family. That's our mission statement. To be able to share what we have been blessed to give and receive with others. And we would rejoice with anyone else who gets it later on in their life. The author who wrote that small group series uses the example and the illustration of being on the playground when you're a kid and they're choosing up teams to play a sports game, and you never want to be that one that's the last one chosen, do you? And she uses that as sort of exemplary of this particular parable, but I'd like to take a little bit of a different view, maybe an additional view on it. We've all seen on the news over time these horrible tragedies, tragic occurrences that happen. There is a horrible fire, and they are fearing that people are not going to make it out alive. There's another shooting, and we're afraid that, you know, not everybody's going to come out of the building alive. Remember that one where the people were stuck in the well, and they didn't know if they'd be able to get them out alive. But think of this. There's the fire, and the families are gathered, and the first person comes through those flames, and everybody is so excited, especially that person, that they're alive. And their families embrace, and there's that incredible reunion that takes place. And then there's another, and a little later another, and then you get to the late in the day, and there's that one family that just in fear and trembling is waiting for that horrible news that dad or mom or sister or brother didn't make it. And then all of a sudden, the person comes out. And there is incredible, incredible rejoicing. Not just with that family, but I guarantee you, the one who came out first in that family is just, if not more, excited than the last. Because it's all about people moving on and being okay and saved. That's what this is about. That's what our lives are about. That's what that parable is about. For us to be able to look at our lives in such a way that it's got the big picture in mind. This particular version of the parables that we have, they're from Luke. And with Matthew, we all know the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus goes up the mountain to give the parable because he's got a Jewish audience and they understand mountains and Moses and Mount Sinai and the commandments and all that. So yeah, they'll get it if Jesus' sermon is on the mount. But for Luke, it's a different audience. And Luke's is really the Sermon on the Plain. And I think that is metaphorically a good symbol for us because it's really leveling the playing field. It's about us having that little bit of a twitch in our seeking of sainthood to understand it's not just about me, it's about me doing what I can for others. When I was preparing my sermon to begin that process, I met my computer earlier in the week, and I'm sure you've had this happen, where all of a sudden you get this notification on social media that says, oh, This is some anniversary or memory for you. I don't know how they do that stuff, but they do it. And I'm not a Facebooker. Don't message me or anything. I don't do Facebook. I have to do Facebook because I need to look at who's watching the service and who isn't. But I'm not a poster onto that stuff. But I got this notification. You know what happened 3 years ago today? I came back from sabbatical. And I took that as God's little message to me. Well, maybe this needs to go into the process this weekend a little bit. So I started looking through my notes that talk about what was most special for me with that time away. And two things bubbled up to the top. And I want to finish by talking about those two things. As those of you who were around that much time ago in our lives together, we were blessed, Dee and I, to go on a pilgrimage, a walking pilgrimage on the Japanese island of Shikoku that is all about these different Buddhist shrines that are there. And we learned a lot about esoteric Buddhism in the process. And we should have no fear of looking into other religions. It doesn't mean we're going to throw away our Christianity. It means any of these religions can add to our religious experience in Christianity. Thomas Merton, one of the greatest Christian monks, writers, mystics of the modern world, he got a lot out of Buddhism and shared it with us in his books. So we go on this. One of the things that stuck out the most for me is someone in Buddhism can attain the situation in their lives that they are called bodhisattva, bodhisattva. And this is the description of a bodhisattva. A bodhisattva is a person who has achieved enlightenment but chooses to stay on earth to help others reach enlightenment rather than entering nirvana. If we translate that in Christian terms, it's somebody who has reached the kingdom of heaven, but has decided to stay here in the kingdom on earth to help others to achieve and find what they have found. Sounds like sainthood to me. What a wonderful way of looking at our spiritual journey, to get and grow to such a point of maturity that we want to share it with everyone else and make sure they have it too. It sounds like the first one who got called to work, helping the one who was the last to call to work. It sounds like all of those blessings that Jesus is talking about today. Second point was one of the last experiences on the sabbatical that taught me a lot about my spiritual journey. And I was at that town in Croatia where my grandma was born and grew up and wanted to go on a retreat day sort of to bring everything to conclusion, didn't know what to do. Discovered that there were these 10 labyrinths outdoors way up in the mountains and the hills. And it intrigued me, and so I drove and drove until I got there. And sure enough, there are these 10 beautiful, beautiful labyrinths overlooking the water and the mountains in the distance as well. And they're labeled. And there are two of them that are together, back to back. It intrigues me. I go over there, and they're labeled. The first one is labeled Freedom, the Labyrinth of Freedom. The other one is labeled the Labyrinth of Transformation. So I start to go and to walk these labyrinths, and I walk the one that's called Freedom. And by the way, the Labyrinth of Freedom, the sign said, it's recommended for people under great stress who have symptoms of disorder and burnout. That was it, baby. So I did that labyrinth, and thinking about freedom, and in the Christian sense of what Paul talks about, and the freedom that God has enabled me and everybody to experience who are called to serve him. And so feeling pretty good when that was over, but then it says, now that you have that freedom, you go into the labyrinth of transformation. And this is what the description of the labyrinth of transformation said. The labyrinth of transformation encourages all kinds of changes, helps in life, encouraging the ability to adapt to new circumstances with speed of action. Mobility and intelligence creates balance, eliminates roughness, separation, and impatience. The ability to adapt to new circumstances with speed of action. Do you know what happened just a few months after I came back from sabbatical? COVID. Quarantine. To adapt to new circumstances with speed of action. Transformation. I would like to remind us today of what this church community was able to do when God was calling us to be transformed. When you look back on it, it was pretty amazing. And to be able to do that with such speed of action, perhaps that can be another example to us of the transformation that God continues to call us to seek as saints. Charles Wesley wrote that great hymn, Love Divine, and we often sing it here and at the 11:45 service, but there's that great last verse, change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. This is the transformation we celebrate, not just for those in heaven, but the transformation God calls us to each and every day. May we seek it. Amen. Amen.